Welcome back to the Brittany Hughes Show, everybody. So I'm just going to go ahead and admit at the onset here, if I am a little bit off today, honestly, it is because I am dead tired. So last night was the 35th anniversary MRC Gala. It was so much fun. If you were not there last night, I really hate to tell you, you missed a phenomenal time. It was so much fun in Washington, D.C. We have all of the videos from that event on our website. You can go check out all the interviews that we did and highlights from the evening, and we're going to be rolling those out throughout the day and over the weekend. But literally just such a phenomenal time was had in Washington, D.C. last night. So the next time we have a gala, of course, I'll be letting you guys know. Make sure that you try your best to be there because you will not want to miss it. It's great. All that to say, though, it was a very, very late night. Did not get a whole lot of sleep. You couple that with having two small children that are going to wake up at 6:30 in the morning, regardless of what time you go to bed. And of course, you end up with just needing a lot of coffee. Just a lot of, there's not enough coffee in the world for a day like today. But it's been a huge week for news as well, so I wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anything. Of course, one of the big stories that's now coming out is it's really popping off over in Russia. Europe is getting very, very testy. Apparently, Vladimir Putin has now called up hundreds of thousands of reserves because his plan to conquer Ukraine in about 5 seconds has, of course, completely fallen apart. So now we've got a very unhinged dictator who's quest for domination over what should have been a relatively easy to conquer country, at least in his mind, has now gone kaput. And of course, there's a lot of unrest over there. The stock market over in Russia is absolutely tanking. And that is an incredibly dangerous moment, obviously, on the global scale, because whenever you have an unhinged dictator, when things are not going his way, that is a recipe for disaster. So he has called up all of these reserves, seems to be about to make a last-minute kind of Hail Mary push to finally get this thing over with, especially as I think his grip on the public over there in Russia is starting to be loosened by this absolute military failure on his part. Of course, he has also very publicly said that he has not ruled out the use of nuclear weapons, which would escalate all of this on a massive scale. So all of that is happening. And I think that it's concerning, obviously, from a world perspective, right? It's very concerning when you have a world superpower that wants to be the world's most dominant power that is armed with nuclear weapons, now threatening to use them against a smaller nation that, to its credit, is holding its own. And so that's obviously concerning from a clear macro level, but it's also very concerning to Americans who are also watching a lot of struggles happening at home. We've got our own issues going on here. And so far, we have coughed up tens of billions of dollars to go to Ukraine and their military to fend off this Russian invasion. And at the same time, watching our own borders completely fall apart here at home. Now, I want to be very clear, because I know that there are a lot of opinions on this subject when it comes to Russia and Ukraine and how involved we should get and how much money and whether we should just stay out of it entirely or whatever. I understand that a lot of us span the gamut here on where we stand. I'm not making the argument that we should not care about Ukraine. As a matter of fact, way back even at the beginning of this show, back months ago, I was very, very clear about my position that a strong Russia is detrimental to American interests overseas, regardless of whether you think we should be some one world alliance or think that everybody should be isolationists and every country should just worry about themselves. The reality of the world is that we are all inextricably tangled up in this spool of yarn together, and that's just the way that it is. And things that happen overseas obviously impact America and this country and our interests. I think it's good to care about Ukraine. I think that it's good to care about Russian strength and sort of the reforming of the Soviet bloc, which is obviously what Putin wants to go for here. It's not working out as well as he planned. That matters, just like it matters that Taiwan, which makes the vast majority of our microchips, may or may not be invaded by China at some point in the future. All of these things matter, and we should absolutely care. But I'm going to say something that I know is just completely at odds with our current political climate, it is actually possible to keep two thoughts in your head at one time. I know that's bizarre. I know that everything's got to be this binary, one versus the other. It doesn't. It is possible to care about the people of Ukraine, regardless of how corrupt their government may or may not be, and whatever dealings they had with Hunter Biden and all of that stuff. It's never good to watch innocent people get caught up in the mess and see their country being invaded and having innocent people being slaughtered. None of that is good. Nobody wants to see that. And it's good and okay and normal to care about that. And at the same time, perfectly acceptable for Americans to be asking why in the world we are sending tens of billions of dollars to protect another nation's national sovereignty when at the same time we seem to have completely disregarded our own. Those two things do not seem to mesh. Why is it that the United States of America is the only nation on planet Earth that is not allowed to care about its own national sovereignty? We have a southwest border that has been completely thrown open by this administration, and unprecedented numbers of illegal immigrants are coming into this country in droves, and we're not allowed to care about that? And you can say, well, you know, there's a difference between a military invasion. What's happening in Ukraine is a military invasion, and what's happening at the U.S. border is asylum seekers. We're going to get to that, first of all, this whole asylum seeker thing and the fact that all of these are like women and children coming across the border. That's not true. But even if that were true, it's not just a military invasion that can cause the downfall of a country. We need to understand this. When we talk about sovereign borders, when we talk about our ability to protect our own borders and to control the flow of who comes in and out of our country, it is important to understand that military threats are not the only threats to a nation. Economic calamity can bring about the downfall of a nation. An upended welfare system in which more people are sucking off the system rather than contributing to it can bring about the downfall of a nation. We are seeing that in real time, that we are suffering from bad economic policies thanks to leftists and socialism and this utopian idea of everybody not just having equal opportunities, but mandating equal results for everybody. We are seeing that in real time in this country and seeing the detrimental effects of it. So when we talk about national sovereignty and the importance of borders, it's not just against military threats. It's against other threats that can weaken the foundation of a country and the systems that that have to exist for it to exist. No other country on planet Earth is being required almost at the point of public opinion to throw open their borders to mass numbers of illegal immigrants year after year after year. This isn't just being caused by, you know, there was a military incursion in some South American country, and that's what triggered this large but albeit temporary drove. That's not what's happening here. This has been a crisis on the southern U.S. border for decades. For decades. Okay, so literally no other country would be asked to do this. No other country would be judged for protecting its own borders. Ukraine certainly not being judged for protecting its own borders. I spent 2 years back in my 20s at the earliest points of my career, 2 years living in Peru. And let me tell you, when we were there, we had to be very careful about our visas and our legal documents saying that we were allowed to be there. And we had to be very careful about keeping track of those dates and making sure that we renewed those visas on time. Because you know what would happen if we didn't? They kicked you out. They kicked you out of the country. Just about every other, I can't think of a single country on planet Earth other than the United States of America that would not remove illegal aliens who were there, particularly if they were there in the numbers that they have come into this country. But for some reason, even as Americans are being asked to cough up tens of billions of dollars in the middle of their own economic crisis to defend another country's borders over there in Europe, we're having to watch our own borders be completely flung open. This week was a monumental week for illegal immigration. The yearly total for illegal alien apprehensions at the Southwest U.S. border has officially surpassed 2 million for the first time in recorded U.S. history. 2 million illegal aliens have been caught at the U.S. border, the Southwest U.S. border, since October 1st of last year, and we still have 1 month left to go in this fiscal year. So according to the monthly data that was just updated by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, border agents caught another 203,597 illegal aliens coming into this country unlawfully in the month of August alone, which brings the total number of apprehensions so far in fiscal year 2022 to 2,150,639. By the way, when we talk about border apprehensions, those are just the people they caught. Every single day, illegal aliens cross into the United States caught on surveillance cameras, but not caught physically by border agents. Happens all the time, especially people that know that they are not going to qualify for asylum or refugee status in this country. Happens every single day. We have no idea how many come into this country completely unapprehended. Over 2 million this year alone. So for comparison, border agents nabbed just over 1.73 million in all of fiscal year 2021, and only about 458,000 in all of fiscal year 2020. So this has been steadily ramping up under the Biden administration and has now hit unprecedented numbers. By the way, 458,000, still way too much. Still way too much. But that was a drop in the bucket compared to the 2.15 million that we have caught so far this fiscal year. So let's talk about who's actually coming, because there's this leftist narrative, right, that, well, yeah, it's a lot of people and we understand that, but we're talking about women and children and they're fleeing violence and it's absolutely horrible and they're like poor and starving and shoeless and all of this stuff. Let's talk about who's actually coming into this country, because Border Patrol agents, Border Protection breaks that down on the website too. Of those who were caught so far this year, of those 2.15 million, about 1.5 million, or about 70%, were single adults. The vast majority of those are male. So the largest, most predominant single category of illegal aliens coming into this country are adult men. So that completely blows out of the water this leftist narrative that it's families and women and children that are coming into this country looking for help. In fact, about 506,000, so that's just under 24%, were members of family units. That includes adult parents and guardians. That just means that they came over in a family unit, in a chunk. Only 140,000, that's about 6.5%, were unaccompanied children. Most of those are male teens between the ages of 15 and 17. That has held true for years. Only 2,782, that is 0.13%, were listed as accompanied minors. So again, we're not talking about droves of women and children. That's not to say that women and children don't come. If you look at pictures of the border, if you look at videos from the border, women and children are absolutely in the mix, but the vast majority are adult men, single adult men. So when you hear this common liberal trope that it's families and toddlers coming across the border, that is simply not true by the numbers. And they are coming in unprecedented amounts. But at the same time, the White House wants us to believe that this border is completely closed. That's what I find so interesting about this administration. Have you noticed that as things have continued to fall apart for this White House? Have you noticed that the excuses have changed? At first, and still a little bit, but at first it was all Trump's fault. Everything was Trump's fault. When Biden first came into the White House, everything was Trump's fault. We just had to get the orange man out of here. Everything is completely and totally on him. I'm just trying to fix it all. Now here we are 2.5 years later dealing with an economic crisis on top of a foreign policy crisis, on top of an energy crisis, and now an immigration crisis. And as all of this has piled up, you'll notice that this administration has completely and totally run out of good lines. We don't even get empty platitudes anymore. We don't even get bullcrap campaign promises or any type of faux plan on how they're going to make any of this better or deal with any of this. You know what we get now from this administration, which has no clue what it's doing whatsoever, and is led by a man that probably doesn't even know what day it is, what his name is, or what office he holds. This is what we get from this White House. We get gaslighting. We get told that the crises that we are seeing play out in front of our own eyes are not actually happening. That's what we get told. We don't get told, yes, we understand that this is happening, but here's how we're going to make it better. Here's what we're going to do. Elect me again, and this is the steps that we're going to take. We don't even get empty promises. We get told, oh, the border is completely secure. There's no immigration problem. There's no illegal alien crisis. That's not actually happening. All those people that are telling you that the border is open, that's not true. The border is closed to illegal immigration. The border is secure. Just like we get told inflation's not that, it's fine. Numbers aren't going up. Everything's fine. Things are getting better. We get told that the things that we are seeing with our own two eyes aren't actually happening because this administration has no more answers. So here's Kamala Harris just last week telling Chuck Todd that the border is closed to illegal immigration. Here she is.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border's secure?
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration.
Okay, so first of all, what does that even mean? Literally, what does that even mean? In Kamala speak, which I know is completely unintelligible, we have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours. What? First of all, you either have a secure border or you don't. It's not that difficult of a question, and it's not that difficult of an answer. We don't have a secure border. The numbers itself tell that story. But to say we have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours, that doesn't even make sense. Linguistically, grammatically, that doesn't even make sense. You either have a secure border or you don't. And if that is a priority, then the border should be secure, which it isn't, which means it's not a priority. That is Kamala Harris gobbledygook for I've got nothing. That's what that means. This is a woman that can't be bothered to go down to the border, even though back in the beginning of this administration, she was actually tapped to head up like some invisible White House task force to deal with this problem. The woman can't even go down there and see it herself. Anything that she has ever been tasked to lead, I can't even say has completely fallen apart because I don't think she's actually stepped up to the helm once at all. And here she is saying that we have a secure border. That's a priority for us. Bullcrap. Bullcrap. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stumbled all over herself last week trying to answer this question. Had absolutely nothing. She flips through her binder like there's going to be some magical information fairy in there that's going to give her all of the answers to the questions that she has no possible way of addressing. By the way, side note, this is what happens when you hire somebody for diversity's sake. You get somebody who has absolutely no idea what she is doing behind this podium and gives answers like this when it comes to immigration.
But does the White House stand by those comments that the border is secure?
What we stand by is that we are doing everything that we can to make sure that that we follow the process that's been put forth. That's why we have historic funding to do just that, to make sure that to make sure that the folks that we encounter at the border be removed or expelled.
Again, if you have any possibility of interpreting that, please let me know. That's almost untranscribable right there. But I think what she was trying to say in all of the stuttering and the stumbling and the nonsense that she blathered right there was that we have a secure border and illegal aliens are going to be, what did she say, expelled? That doesn't seem to be happening. Not only have we just surpassed 2 million illegal alien apprehensions this fiscal year alone, the data shows that since Joe Biden took office in January of 2020, his administration has released 1 million illegal aliens into the United States after crossing the border unlawfully. 1 million. See, there's two numbers here that are massive when it comes to understanding illegal immigration. The people who are caught and then the people who are released into this country. Some, under everybody, whether it's Obama or Trump or Biden, whatever, some people genuinely don't get into this country. But hundreds of thousands of them end up being released into this country with orders to appear at an immigration hearing, which many of them do not show up to. They disappear into your town, USA, and that's the last you hear of them until they commit a crime or run a stoplight or get pulled over for something. And oftentimes something bad has to happen in order to figure out that that person's been living in Ohio for the last 15 years and shouldn't have. They skipped out on all their immigration hearings and they've just been living footloose and fancy free till they T-bone some mom in a minivan and it makes the news. And even then, barely. But under this administration, 1 million illegal aliens have already been released into this country to await immigration hearings. That does not include the estimated 1 million more gotaways who came into this country unlawfully without being apprehended. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. So, of course, Republican governors who are fed up with this are now busing droves of illegal aliens into blue cities that voted for this crap, that hailed themselves as sanctuary cities, that says, you know, it's inhumane to turn people away at the border. Okay, fine. You take them then, New York City. You take them then, Chicago. See how you like it. While Kamala Harris was blathering on this nonsense about how the border is secure and it's a priority and blah, 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 and all the bullcrap that we know isn't true at all, Governor Greg Abbott was dumping illegal aliens in her front lawn. And by the way, let's just be clear here. The number of people that have been bused into these cities are a drop in the bucket compared to what border towns deal with every single day. New York City is falling all over itself because it's gotten, what, 11,000 or so illegal aliens in the past few months. El Paso gets 1,300 a day. One town in Texas. One town. 1,300 illegal aliens cross into El Paso every single day. And New York City, with all of its sanctuary policies and all of its bleeding heart blather, are whining about 11,000 illegal aliens strung out over several months, and that is overwhelming this city. Are you kidding me? So, of course, Greg Abbott finally just buses a busload or two in front of Kamala Harris's D.C. residence. Here's what one man had to say who was interviewed after recently coming across the border, and it completely flies in the face of everything that the vice president told Chuck Todd.
Everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter, we come in free.
It's open for you to come illegally, right?
Illegally, yes, illegally, that's true. Because we sit on the news that everybody coming illegally. So we are sure to do the same.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm a lot more apt to believe him than I am to believe Kamala Harris. This is a man that just came across the border versus a vice president that can't even find her way to the border. Of course the border is open, he says. Of course it's open. I came across it. And we come illegally, and we know that we're coming illegally. Because we know that the border is open. Why wouldn't we? We've been told. We've rolled out the red carpet for you. Come on in. You don't need documentation. You don't need to wait in line. You don't have to go through the process. You can just come walking in and find yourself in the United States of America. His own words, standing on Kamala Harris's front yard, completely blowing her entire narrative out of the water. And this tactic, which, by the way, for those calling it a publicity stunt for these governors to be busing illegal aliens, absolutely it's a publicity stunt. It's absolutely a publicity stunt, and that is okay. I am fine with it being a publicity stunt because that's how you get the attention of the politicians that have campaigned on open borders for years. And it's starting to cause a problem with this administration because their own mayors and their own governors in these deep blue areas are now having to feel the brunt of this crisis. And it's creating two problems for the left. The first is obviously that the liberals and the politicians and the elected officials in these deep blue areas, they are now having to deal with the consequences, particularly the economic consequences of the open borders policies that they have complained about or that they have campaigned on, that they have promoted for years. This is a group of people that spent the entire Trump presidency calling him a Nazi for trying to get some control over the Southwest U.S. border. And now they're having to back up their own devotion to illegal immigration, and they do not have the resources to do it. And they're getting a taste of what border towns and states like Texas and Arizona have had to deal with for years. The second problem, though, that it creates for them is with their constituents. See, the entire gaslighting campaign where the left continually says verbally that the border is closed to illegal immigration, even while keeping it open to illegal immigration, that entire effort depends on keeping the problem contained at the border. If the only people who know about it, if the only people who are dealing with it, if the only people who understand just how bad this crisis is at the border, that's okay. Because the people of New York City aren't really feeling it. The people in Chicago aren't really feeling it. The people in Baltimore aren't really feeling it. The people in DC aren't really feeling it. So we can continue to lie to all of them and say, the border is closed to illegal immigration. Oh, and by the way, we want to help all the poor and the downtrodden and the asylum seekers. And that's not really causing a problem. This country can sustain more people. We're here to help people. Give us your poor and your tired and your weary. And they can say all of that because their people aren't actually having to deal with the ramifications of that policy. Now they are. Now you've got a housing crisis in some of these cities. When the good people of Martha's Vineyard have to look at the problem with their own two eyes and realize, oh crap, this causes an issue. We've got to have a place to put these people. We've got to have food to give these people. We don't have the resources to do this. Which, by the way, Martha's Vineyard, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Open up some of your guest rooms that you haven't walked in 3 years. You have plenty of resources, but you don't want to do that because you don't want strangers coming into your town, coming into your home. You don't know who they are. You haven't vetted them. It could be a bunch of criminals for all you know. It makes you feel unsafe. Why would you put a bunch of strangers up in your home? You don't want a bunch of people that you don't know trampling your lawn. I get that. Neither do the people in border towns in Texas, but you didn't give a crap about them until it started happening to you. You didn't care that ranchers were having their property trampled and trash littered all over their land and their water systems broken and their fences cut down and their homes robbed. You didn't care until those became your concerns. And so you can't lie to your constituents. You can't lie to your own voters when they have to see the problem now for themselves. And that's the pickle that all of these leftist politicians are in having to figure out how to deal with this crisis, because now their people are seeing it. To their credit, and we've made fun of Martha's Vineyard a lot this past week, and it is actually quite hilarious to see all of these wealthy people who can't seem to figure out how to house a measly 50 people who were dumped on their lawn and had to immediately shuffle them off to a military base. Here is one Martha's Vineyard resident who actually praised DeSantis and said, of course, this is what they need to do, because how else are you going to get the attention of this boneheaded administration? Here she is.
Were you surprised at all when Governor Ron DeSantis decided, okay, you know what, guess what, I'm going to send 50 of the migrants who volunteered to come to this, to come to Martha's Vineyard. Were you surprised when they arrived?
No, I wasn't. And I really praised him for doing that because it wasn't a stunt. I know the media has been saying it's a stunt. But, you know, how do you get the attention of the administration? How do you get the attention of Harris, who's supposed to be in charge of this? That
do you think she's been a good border czar?
I don't. It's really a joke and everyone knows it.
And she is exactly right. She is exactly right. Why should the border towns of Texas and Arizona have to deal with this problem for years and years and years on end? Why should an administration that has perpetuated this crisis get to ignore it? They shouldn't. This should be shoved on their faces. Put these people on the White House lawn. Put these people on the National Mall. Put these people in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. Set up a ladder and let them climb over her wall that surrounds her little compound in San Francisco. Dump them in the backyard of Maxine Waters' house. I don't care. All of these politicians that spent 4 years calling Donald Trump a Nazi for trying to get this under control, send them there. If you want them so bad, this is your problem. Your problem. Is it a political policy, a political publicity stunt? Absolutely. And it's clearly effective because you've left these border towns, you've left the governors of these states with no other choice. Their people have had to deal with this for years. Cough up their hard-earned resources to deal with this for years. And it's time for the people that perpetuate this to start having to pick up their end of the rope and pull. You wanted it? You got it. Welcome to the border. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show for this week. I will see you guys back here next Thursday. Again, make sure that you go to MRC TV, check out all the videos from our gala last night. Absolutely amazing time. Wish you had been there if you weren't. I will see you guys back here next week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Make sure you head over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show so that you don't miss an episode. You can also check out full episodes on iTunes or on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble. See you back here next week. Have a phenomenal weekend.